In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Sunday blessings. This is the Lord's Day, the day of resurrection that commences a new week and offers a new opportunity to be drawn by grace more deeply into the Paschal mystery of Jesus Christ. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, may each of us graciously respond to Jesus' invitation to live more deeply his passion, death, and glorious resurrection and ascension, and be drawn into loving communion with God our Father. You are listening to Encountering Jesus with the Church Fathers, a podcast pondering patristic commentary and insight on the sacred scriptures, the sacred liturgy, and living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am your host, Father Mark, and I welcome you to this podcast on the fourth Sunday of Lent, Lectionary Year B. If the second scrutiny for the elect is celebrated in your parish this Sunday, the scripture readings from Lectionary Year A are employed. Guiding us this Sunday in opening the Word of God is St. Gregory of Nazianzus. He was born in the year 330 in what is now known as Ninanzi, located in southwestern Turkey. Raised in a Christian and economically comfortable household, Gregory had access to various educational opportunities, culminating in the study of rhetoric and poetry at the University of Athens. It was here that he met St. Basil, and the two formed a lifelong friendship. In time, Basil and Gregory were prepared for priestly ordination, a reality that Gregory most reluctantly accepted. Gregory preferred a more monastic approach to life, especially study and prayer. As his friend Basil was shoring up the faith in the province of Caesarea, he convinced Gregory to be the bishop of Sasima. As a result of tense situations, both from within and without the diocese, Gregory returned home to become in time what amounted to a chaplain of the Anastasis in Constantinople. He eventually became the bishop of Constantinople and was one of the leaders of the council held there in 381. While his theological writings were a great and necessary contribution to the council's Christology and Trinitarian theology, Gregory did not fare well with matters of administration. He was eventually deposed of both the See of Constantinople and presidency of the council. Hurt by his treatment, yet relieved of the burdens he knew he could not handle, he retired to his family's estate and spent the remainder of his life devoted to prayer and writing. History would eventually bestow the titles of the theologian and the poet upon Gregory. He penned numerous pieces on pertinent theological and pastoral questions. Five of those treatises are known as the Theological Orations, as they deal with Trinitarian personhood against the writings of Eunomius. Today's excerpt is taken from Oration 27, known also as Theological Oration Number 1. It was directed to the followers of Eunomius, who was an ardent teacher of a highly intellectual form of Arianism, which, among other points, denied the true divinity of Jesus. In this introductory discourse, Gregory underscores the importance of humility and repentance. Insights highlighted in Psalm 137, which is chanted at Mass this Sunday. Now, I am not saying that it is not needful to remember God at all times. I must not be understood, or I shall be having these nimble and quick people down upon me again. For we ought to think of God even more often than we draw our breath. And if the expression is permissible, we ought to do nothing else. Indeed, I am one of those who entirely approve that word which bids us meditate day and night, and cry out in the evening, in the morning, and at noonday, and bless the Lord at all times. Or, to use Moses' words, when one lies down, or when one gets up, or when one walks on the road, or whatever else one is doing. And by this recollection, we are to be molded to purity. So that it is not the continual remembrance of God that I would hinder, but only the talking about God. Nor do I consider even that to be wrong in itself, but only when inappropriate. Nor do I object to teaching about God, but only to lack of judgment in doing so. As eating too much honey, even though it is honey, makes one vomit, and as Solomon, and I think there is a time for everything, and that which is good ceases to be good if it be not done in a good way, just as a flower is quite out of season in winter, and just as a man's clothing does not become a woman, nor a woman's a man, and as geometry is out of place in mourning or tears at a party, shall we in this instance alone disregard the proper time in a matter in which discretion should be respected most of all? Surely not, my friends and brethren, for I will still call you brethren, even though you do not behave like brothers. Let us not think so, nor yet, like excited and ungovernable horses, throwing off our driver reason and spitting out the bit of restraining reverence. Let us run wide of the turning post. Instead, let us philosophize with our own proper bounds and not be carried away into Egypt, nor swept down into Assyria, nor sing the Lord's song in a strange land, by which I mean before any kind of audience, strangers or kindred, hostile or friendly, sympathetic or unsympathetic, who watch what we do with a critical eye, and would like the spark of what is wrong in us to become a flame, and secretly kindle and fan it, and raise it to heaven with their breath, and make it higher than the Babylonian flame which burnt up everything around it. For since their strength lies not in their own teaching, they hunt for it in our weak points. And therefore, they apply themselves to our, shall I say, misfortunes or failings, like flies to wounds. But let us at least be no longer ignorant of ourselves, or pay too little attention to the due order in these matters. And if it be possible to put an end to the existing hostility, let us at least agree upon this, that we will utter mysteries under our breath, and holy things in a holy manner, and we will not cast to profane ears that which may not be uttered, nor give evidence that we possess less gravity than those who worship demons and serve shameful fables and deeds. For they would sooner give their blood to the uninitiated than certain words. But let us recognize that as in dress and diet and laughter and behavior, there is a certain decorum, so there is also in speech and silence. Since among the many titles and powers of God, we pay the highest honor to the Word. Let even our disputes then be kept within bounds. Why should someone who is a hostile listener to such words be allowed to hear about the begetting of God or God's creation, or how God was made out of things which had no existence, or of sections and analysis and divisions? Why do we make our accusers our judges? Why do we put swords into the hands of our enemies? Think for a moment. How, or with what temper, will arguments about such subjects be received by those who approve of adulteries and the corruption of children, and who worship the passions and cannot conceive of anything higher than the body, who, until quite recently, set up gods for themselves, and gods, at that, who were noted for the vilest deeds? Will it not be from a material standpoint, shamefully and ignorantly, and in the sense to which they have been accustomed? Will they not make your theology a defense for their own gods and passions? For if we ourselves wantonly misuse these words, it will be a long time before we shall persuade them to accept our philosophy. And if they are in their own persons inventors of evil, how should they refrain from grasping at such things when offered to them? Such results come to us from our rivalry. Such results dog those who fight for the word beyond what the word approves. They are behaving like insane persons who set their own house on fire, or abuse their own children, or disavow their own parents and treat them as strangers. But when we have excluded from the conversation whatever is alien to it, and sent the great legion on its way to the abyss in the herd of the swine, the next thing is to look to ourselves and polish our theological self to beauty like a statue. The first point to consider is, what is this great rivalry of speech and endless talking? What is this new disease of insatiability? Why have we tied our hands and armed our tongues? We do not praise either hospitality or brotherly love or conjugal affection or virginity, nor do we admire liberality to the poor, or chanting of the Psalms, or night-long vigils, or tears. We do not subdue the body by fasting, or go forth to God by prayer, nor do we subject the worst to the better, I mean the dust to the spirit, as they would do who form a just judgment of our composite nature. We do not make our life a preparation for death, nor do we make ourselves masters of our passions, mindful of our heavenly nobility, nor tame our anger when it swells and rages, nor our pride that brings about a fall, nor unreasonable grief, nor ignorant pleasure, nor insincere laughter, nor undisciplined eyes, nor insatiable ears, nor excessive talk, nor absurd thoughts, nor any of these occasions, which the evil one gets against us from sources within ourselves, bringing upon us the death that comes through the windows, as the Holy Scripture says, that is, through the senses. Indeed, we do the very opposite, and have given liberty to the passions of others, as kings give releases from service in honor of victory, only on occasion that they incline to our side and make their assault upon God more boldly or more impiously. And we give them an evil reward for a thing which is not good, license of tongue for their impiety. Saint Gregory of Nazianzus, pray for us. Let us pray. O God, who through your word reconciled the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.